wife. So thank y'all for being here. Sorry. I'm going to break out them bloodhounds. I was about to break out the bloodhounds and get them out here on this trail. So, man, where's my buddy at? He ain't been here in a while. I miss him. And it's good to see you. I know my mama's mean. I know she's mean. I said, now, Lord, don't tell me she's done run somebody else off. Don't feel bad. She used to run me off all the time when I was a kid. I'd go home. She'd say, get out of here. Don't come home. Get out of here. So, you know, some things ain't never changed. At least she ain't a hypocrite, Mama. I appreciate that. It's Easter, ain't it? It's Easter. And all across the world today, everybody's celebrating Peter Cottontail. I'll shoot that sucker if he come across my yard. It'd be a good supper. And I like rabbit. I don't keep it stewed or fried. I like good rabbit. And we're from the South. Everything tastes like chicken. You get a Peter Cottontail to hop across our yard, we see chicken. And so, but here's what I'm saying besides all that foolishness. Everybody celebrating this morning. I don't mean to put a damper on anything. I just mean to be a realist. I've been thinking about it all morning. I didn't wake up to think about it. I've just been thinking about it. Everybody celebrating resurrection morning, Easter. Jesus got up, all that good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thoroughly convinced of what that old man on that wall back there used to tell me. Son, we need Friday before we get to Sunday. Everybody's wanting to get to Sunday and bypass Friday. But we're going to have to go through Friday to get to Sunday. We've got to learn how to die before we can learn how to live. That's right. And Jesus Christ had to go be put on that cross, ladies and gentlemen, before he could ever come up out of that tomb. And Paul said it like this, I am crucified with Christ. And that's where we're going to have to get before we can really appreciate Easter Sunday. That's right. We have to be crucified with Christ before we can ever really enjoy and thoroughly understand that blessed resurrection morning. Hallelujah. Thank God I don't have to wait to April to enjoy the resurrection. You hear? I don't have to wait to Easter Sunday to enjoy the resurrection. I'm telling you, church, I know it might be a little weird, but I enjoyed the resurrection of Jesus Christ on December the 25th. Hallelujah. I enjoy the resurrection of Jesus Christ on October the 31st. Hallelujah. I enjoy it on July the 4th. I just enjoy it. I enjoy it on April 1st. I just enjoy it. I enjoy it. Thank God, the resurrection. That resurrection gets up in me. Hallelujah. Every day it's fresh and new. So that's good. Let's, if you will, somebody said, well, you ready for Easter Sunday? And I went, yeah, I got me a new tie. No, man, you got your Easter message. I went, man, we cussing out Halloween. Well, don't you tell, we don't do all that stuff. We're just a small country church. And we missed out on all that tradition somewhere along the line. We'll look at a resurrection today, though, somehow. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Thank everybody for being here. I do appreciate you coming, getting your sorry carcass out of the bed. Those of you that took a shower and put on deodorant, I appreciate that. And those of you that got dressed, I appreciate that. And put on clothes, we don't need any more cottage cheese factories. We learned about that in Sunday school. And this is not the place for cottage cheese, unless it's seal test. And and Zach was exactly right when he was talking about be prepared to lust. If you go to Walmart, I'm going, his Walmart ain't my Walmart. I went to my Walmart and they should charge you to get in at Walmart. They should charge you for that, man. That's a show. I'm telling you, I've seen stuff I couldn't explain, Michael. I'm not kidding. I seen something down there one night. I don't know what it was. And man, I was scared to look. I mean, I was hiding behind the clothes going, what is that, man? What is it? And I didn't want them to see me looking. I was trying to figure it out. I don't know what it was. I mean, it had makeup on. I mean, it looked like, I don't know, Michael Jackson or something. I don't know what it was. It was just kind of strange. And I was praying that one of these spiritual people would come with a track and maybe share the gospel. But I don't know. All right, Matthew chapter 13. Let me go on all the craziness. Let's look at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. He hid the treasure. He found the treasure and hid it in the field. And for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. He hid that treasure in that field. And went and sold everything he had and went and bought that field. Didn't tell him about that treasure. Verse 45 says, And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I said, we're going to look at a resurrection somehow, some way. I guess if you look at that pearl in the process, you can kind of tie it into a resurrection somehow. So there's y'all's Easter service. Let's go eat. No, I'm just kidding. Zach, if you will, pray for us.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be in the house of God. We pray that you would help the preacher today. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us to give ears to hear, to have ears to hear. God, that we would take heed to the precious word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, that we would walk in your ways and walk according to the word of God in obedience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I don't title messages a whole lot. I've been around so many preachers, I guess, where they fancied up a title and twisted the scriptures to make it fit their title. But I do want to preach this thought today on the pearl of great price. It's a good biblical title. The pearl of great price. Pearl of great price. We know by reading the scriptures that Jesus is this great pearl. I mean, it's what it's symbolic, what it's representing, what it's pointing to. That this great pearl, this pearl of great price, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in our text, we see a merchant man, and he's out pearl shopping. And just out to find him some pearls. He wants to find him some nice pearls to buy. And while he was shopping, he found one pearl that was different than any other pearl that he had ever seen. I mean, this is the story. He went out pearl shopping, but little did he know he was going to find something special that day. He was going to find a rare gem. He was going to find a rare one. Something that nobody else, as far as he is concerned, ever come across. It was so special, church, and it was so rare. It was such a great price. In fact, it was so valuable that he went and sold all that he had just to obtain this one pearl. I don't know sometimes if we get our minds wrapped around these scriptures like God intended us to, but I mean, this man literally sold everything that he had just so he could buy this one pearl. I mean, think about that. There went your car. There went your house. There went all your furniture. All your cheap art just went out the back door, friend. It sold. I mean, this man had one more yard sale. He let it all go. He let it all go. I want you to try to wrap your mind around that if you can. That this man found such a pearl that he sold everything that he had. The Bible said that he sold all that he had. I thought that's pretty remarkable. If you was to look at that man in the previous verse, the first verse that we read, he bought the field that he had hid, that he found that treasure and went and hid it in a field. And then the Bible says that he went back and he sold all that he had. And then when he sold all that he had, he went out and bought that field that had that treasure in it. Once he bought the field, everything that was in it was his. So at that point, church, he's able to take that treasure and start going through it. And he can take pieces and parts of that treasure and sell it and buy back
what he sold, he can buy him a new couch. He can buy him a new house. He can buy him a new chariot. He can buy him some new mules. And I'm telling you, he can still have some treasure left over to live off of. So he's probably a whole lot better off than he ever dreamed of. And that's one way of looking at that old boy. But here's a guy that went out and sold everything that he owned and was left with nothing but what he had on his back, Miss Stephanie. And the Bible said that he bought one pearl. Now, church, I don't know if you can understand, but he couldn't take that thing and slice it up like it was a piece of pie and start dividing that pearl up and selling little pieces out of that pearl. It's not the same principle. You can't do that. If he was to crush that pearl, it loses its value. It had to stay whole. It had to stay intact. It was just one pearl. He couldn't divvy it out and start buying back with the pieces of that pearl the things that he had sold. It's the pearl. Imagine when the old boy sold out and, you know, he sold everything that he had. The noise was spread throughout his neighborhood. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, the man starts selling his chariots and starts selling his cattle. And he sells all of his furniture. Imagine one day he's down there walking through town and he sees one of his old neighbors. And his neighbor says, "Hey, man, how you doing?" "Well, I'm doing pretty good. I heard you sold out and moved out." "Yeah, I sold everything that I had." "Well, what you going to do? Where are you going to live?" "Well, to be honest with you, neighbor, I've already bought something." "Oh, really? Where are you going?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, what'd you buy?" "I bought this pearl." And I imagine that neighbor scratched his head and went, "He bought a pearl? He sold everything and all he's got is a pearl?" I mean, think about it. It's kind of common, I know, but that's all it is. It's common for a common people. All he's got left is a pearl. Here comes his old neighbor, and neighbor brings it up, and his neighbor's left scratching his head. I want you to understand this, though. All this man had in the world at this point, all that he had was a pearl. How about that? The clothes on his back and a pearl in his hand. That's all he had. He didn't have a house to go to. He didn't have a donkey to ride from town to town. He didn't know where his next meal was coming from, church. All he had left. Man, he got rid of everything that he had in this entire world, this entire life, just to obtain this one pearl. I thought that's pretty staggering. I want you to understand this and keep this in your mind, that this pearl represents the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. Can I be honest with you? When you got Jesus, you got everything. Amen. I mean, when you have him, praise God, you've got your next meal. When you've got the Lord Jesus, you've got everything that you need. I mean, you may not have a fancy house and a nice car and fancy clothes, but I tell you, friend, if you've got Jesus, you've got everything. This whole world may not look at it the way you do, but according to the Word of God, I'm telling you, there's a treasure in this earthen vessel. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Need I remind you this morning, the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse number 36, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I mean, man, this man didn't gain the world. He sold the world, you understand? But people look at this thing the other way around. Man, you need a place to live. You need a car. You need this. You need that. Can I tell you what we need today more than anything in this life, more than the breath that you breathe? Can I tell you what we need more than the crops need a rain? We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what we need more than the sick need a doctor? We need the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest need in America today is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a new political leader. It's not a Republican. It's not a Democrat. It's not $1 million in the bank. It's not a bigger to-do, Miss Stephanie, but I'm telling you, the world needs Jesus. And I'm telling you, it seems like we've obtained everything today, but the one thing that means everything in the life to come. Right. We need Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My old pastor had a brother, good brother, I mean a good brother in the Lord by the name of Jason McNeese. And Miss Stephanie, I kind of like that old song he used to sing. And I can remember me and old Jay riding down the road, and I say, Jay, sing me a song. And man, I can remember him just singing, He's All I Need. Well, I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayers each time I call him. I'm telling you, man, he get on down there and get to going. He's in my everything, and he's all that I need. Church, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is what we need. He is our need. He's everything we need. And I'm telling you, if we have him, we've got it all, friend. And if you have him, you don't have him, you have nothing. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He's the Lord of all, and he's all that I need. Amen. Y'all remember that rich young ruler that came to Jesus? There's two passages in there, but the Bible says that this rich young ruler, he came running to Jesus. He ran to him. I kind of like that. I mean, man, he had done heard all that he could hear. And I mean, he packed up, son. This old boy took off a running to Jesus. I like it. He came running to Jesus and the guy said, great question. What must I do to be saved? If you remember, Jesus started going through that thing about the law with him. And he said, I've kept all these. I mean, I've done what the law told me to do. I've loved my neighbor. I've done this. I've helped people. You know what Jesus turned around to this old boy and said? He said, I'll tell you what, man. Why don't you sell everything you've got and give it to the poor? Come follow me. Now, Mr. Stanley, there's two different passages in the Bible. And the Bible says that this old boy went away. And one passage said he went away grieved. And then another passage said he went away sorrowful. When Jesus said this, I want you to do what this merchant man did. I want you to take all your treasures, all those things that means everything to you, all that you've worked for, all that you've acquired. I want you to take that and hold it up to me now and see which one's more valuable to you. Whew. I want you to take that treasure that you've worked for so hard all your life. I want you to sell it and give your money to the poor. Just come follow me. I'm going to tell you what this old boy did. He went away grieved and sorrowful. Wasn't willing. That treasure that he had obtained in this world was more to him. It meant more to him. It was more valuable to him than what Jesus was. We talk about this old boy possibly being Paul, that rich young ruler. Remember? I mean, we kind of talk about it being Apostle Paul before Apostle Paul got saved. And if you'll remember, the Bible says about this rich young ruler, I'm going to throw in another little food for thought out there on that could possibly be Paul. If you remember, the Bible says that Jesus loved this rich young ruler. Jesus loved him. They had a whole lot of places in the Bible where he was specifically saying, I love him. Or Jesus loved him. The Bible says, for God so loved what? The world. But if you'll remember, later on, Paul said, he loved me. Did something? And gave himself for me. Jesus Christ looked at this rich young ruler and man, his heart was moved with compassion and he loved him. I'm telling you, this old boy that was with... Listen, friend, Jesus Christ loved him and this old boy was willing to die and go to hell for his own possessions. He's willing to die and go to hell for his own earthly treasures. He's willing to die and go to hell for the things that he had obtained. The things that he had obtained in this life was more valuable to him than Jesus. He's willing to die and go to hell for him. It's tough, ain't it? This young man went away grieved and sorrowful. This man was willing to pay for a salvation. He's willing to work for a salvation. But he wasn't willing to do what Jesus told him to do. Son, you're going to have to get rid of everything. It's amazing, ain't it? It's easy to sit here today and it's easy to sit and read your Bible. It's easy to sit and listen to preachers. And sometimes, boy, we get carried away with dogging somebody. But it's easy to sit around, Zach, and criticize this old boy. It really is. It's easy to sit around and say, man, that guy's crazy. He should have sold out, give his money to the poor, and went and followed Jesus. But you know what, Miss Holly? People sit in church every week of their life and they hold on to the stuff that's less valuable than what that old boy held on to. I'm telling you, there's people, Miss Stephanie, in congregations across the world today that's holding on to ideas, you understand, that's more willing to go to hell over some stupid idea that they have versus giving it to God and getting saved. Just an idea, a thought. How about a belief? Come eat this little wafer and you can partake of the literal body of Jesus. I'm telling you, friend, there's millions of people going to die and go to hell today because of some kind of little philosophy or some kind of theory or some kind of belief. I'm telling you, it's easy to criticize people like this rich young man, but there's people in churches all over America today that's going to hell for a whole lot less than what that man was holding on to. What is it that's taking you to hell today? What is it that's taking you to hell? What is it that's keeping you from Jesus Christ? What is it that's keeping you from having that treasure in this earthen vessel? Huh? What are you holding on to? What treasure is it in your possession? What's more valuable to you today than the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that's keeping you from Him? Well, we'll get there. Mama, there used to be an old country song. And I wrote a gospel track kind of to counter it. But the old song said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know what I thought? Everybody wants to go to heaven. And I wrote that track, Lord, I want to go to heaven, just not today. Too bad we can't pick the day that we're going to leave this life. And that's what the track was based on. But you know what I say, Miss Holly? Everybody kind of wants to go to heaven, but they just ain't willing to do what it takes to get there. Hey, I'm telling you, church, you better believe this rich young ruler said, what must I do to be saved? He went to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he looked at Jesus in the face. He said, I want to go to heaven. What do I got to do to go to heaven? You know what's amazing? He wasn't willing to do what he had to do to go to heaven. How many people today ain't willing to do what they have to do to get to go to heaven? Listen to me, church. Things, earthly treasures, whatever it is that we hold on to, things will escort you to hell. Mental things, stuff in our mind. Some people's got mental blocks. It's amazing how people have mental blocks. And because of intellect, they have to get their mind around. I'm telling you, we better learn how to obey the Word of God. You ain't going nowhere until you obey. Just do what it says. Financial things will send people. It's amazing how people hold on to finances and money and worldly goods over this heavenly treasure. Physical things, huh? People let lust of the flesh get in their way going to heaven. How many times you heard people say, and preachers quote, I've got wild oats to sow. Physical things, monetary things. I don't know what your thing is, but God does. God knows what your thing is. God knows what it is that's keeping you from Him. God knows. Isn't that amazing? If God knows, let me ask you a question. If God knows, why don't you know? You think God's got a secret? He's holding it against you. He don't want you to know. You don't think God wants you to draw up to Him? I don't know what your thing is, but God does, and He wants to reveal it to Him. Listen, if you care enough to seek Him for it. I know I'm going to say something here that most Baptist preachers will never, ever even utter. But I just want you to think about it. Have you seeked Him, sought Him, excuse me, have you sought Him hard enough to push away from the table? Steve, every time I ever really wanted to get something from God and I had a hard time and I really needed some direction,
Every time I really needed some help from God, I had to beat down this stupid flesh. And this flesh does just what Esau's flesh does. This flesh says, feed me. I'm about to die. I'm at the point I'm going to die if you don't feed me. I've had to look at my flesh and say, no, I'm not feeding you. I'm not feeding you this worldly pleasure. I'm not feeding you this worldly food. And sit there, Miss Debbie, and had to push away from that table and literally starve my flesh to get some kind of answer, direction, something from God that I needed. I said, man, we seeking after God. Have you sought after Him hard enough just to push away and to beat your flesh down a little bit? It's hard to hear from God when that flesh is sitting on the throne.
It's hard to hear from God when the flesh is on the throne. I mean, when your little old belly gets to hurt a little bit because you're hungry, just because you skipped breakfast, and went to 12 o'clock, and man, I got to have something. Listen, man, I tell you what we got to have. We got to have this girl at a great price. We got to have Jesus.
I'd rather go to hell on an empty stomach. I'd rather go to hell on an empty stomach seeking after God with all my might than to go to hell with my arms and legs and a full gut. Be better off. Less of me there is in hell, the better off I'd be. I don't know what your thing is, but God does. Zach, I kind of liked your little Sunday school lesson last week, and I don't mean little. I liked what you bumped up on last week. I made a comment this morning about Sunday school, and God smote my heart, and it's just a saying that I say, and Sunday school's not a light thing. Sunday school's a heavy thing. Sunday school's a great thing. It's a godly thing. Matthew 24:51 is one of the passages in. And Jesus said, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Where's the hypocrites? In a place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hypocrites go to hell, church. I like what you said last week. Hypocrites go to hell. That's what the Bible says. They have their part. They have their portion. It's in hell. It's Easter Sunday, and I'm trying to be as sweet as I can be, Miss Stephanie, but you know what? This church is eat up with hypocrisy. This congregation is eat up with hypocrisy. Oh, that's tough. I'm going to tell you where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in hell. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm just saying a hypocrite is just simply pretending to be what you act. Pretending. That's as good as they come. That's as good as they come. Got me a good Bible. Got me a little song I'm going to sing. I'm going to smile. I got me some good church clothes. I'm going to tell you what that book would do right there. Such a good book. That book right there will convert your soul where it's going to condemn you. And to help you get to heaven or to put you straight into hell. His word ain't going to return void. He'll stand at you one day and laugh at your calamities. He'll mock when your fear comes. When we stand before that judge, pray, Dave, hey, I'm telling you, when the law stand before that great white throne, and they sit there and plead and beg God for mercy, they'll find no mercy in the judgment of God Almighty. They'll find none. Mercy's over. We got the mercy now. So, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about sometimes all we got, Steve, is a Bible, a song. And I don't mean that to be short, but we've got our little smiles, we've got our little Sunday clothes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more than that. And everybody sitting around going, such a, oh, they're,
Ain't, look, boy, everybody's thinking, man, you're one thing, and down deep in your heart, you're filthy and nasty and wicked. Listen to me. You're nastier in your heart than the filthiest whore in Chicago. And I'm going to say this. Instead of you've been in Chicago, I'm talking about the south side of them tracks. It's dark over there, buddy. It's nasty. It's filthy. You can sit in church with your Bible in your lap and your pretty little clothes on and your little smile, and you can sing and you can do your thing, but I'm telling you, in your heart, you're as wicked as the nastiest whore in Chicago. That'd give me some hypocrisy. I don't agree with it. Don't misunderstand me, but I understand what he was saying. When old Joe Parsons used to say, what you probably ought to do is get you a good fifth of liquor and drink it. Because we got a bunch of religious freaks sitting up in church that ain't never smelled a good cigarette before. And I'm telling you, they can't see how filthy and nasty they are. And what he was trying to say is, if you'd get on a good drunk, maybe you'd realize how ungodly and wretched and vile you really was. Maybe you could begin to see the wickedness of your heart. And maybe, just maybe, you could get that treasure, that pearl of great price, to do some work in your heart. It's kind of hard to see when we was raised in these independent Baptist churches that smile, a bunch of stinking hypocrites at every one you go to. I'm telling you, it makes me sick. Baptist church is so full of hypocrisy, it's pathetic. Wouldn't know God from a goat. I'm telling you, I'm convinced that 90-some percent of the Baptist church don't even know God anymore. He said, preacher, that's mean. That's not mean. Understand, the hypocrites have their part in hell, friend. It's more than a nice suit. It's more than a Bible. It's more than a song. It's more than a smile. It's a treasure in this earthen vessel. It's the pearl of great price, Jesus Christ. If you don't have him, you have nothing. If you don't have him, acting like a Christian. Listen, if you don't have him, acting like a Christian makes you a filthy, nasty hypocrite. And God thinks you stink. You stink in the nostrils of God. You stink in his nostrils. I'm telling you, friend, listen. Oh, dear God, it's not good to pretend to be what we don't intend to be. Steve, I try to be careful saying things. But I sit and watch stuff. And it's amazing today when you try to find some kind of help. You try to find some kind of Christian friend. You try to find somebody to fellowship with. And it's amazing today how we have to go try to find help from people who need help. People are asking people, lost people, are looking at people like they're saved and asking them to be my friend, to help me, to do when they need to be saved themselves. Be good to understand that. It's hard for me to be that if I ain't that. I'm just amazed at the level of comfort of sinners today. Everybody seems to be just getting along all right. We've got some issues in our heart, boy. I don't want to bring it up. I fought it all morning. But I stood right here a couple weeks ago or a month ago, whenever it was, and my man stood right here and told me he was born gay. I knew him when he was born. I knew him when he was a little boy. He wasn't born gay. What he's failing to realize is he's missing Jesus. I remember his family turning him gay. I remember his family making him a sissy. I can remember his daddy pushing him off and making him go off with his mama every Saturday of his life with about four other women, and they shopped all day long every Saturday, and he'll run around picking up all them female habits. And he's starting to like what females like and think what females think, and just turned him into a little old girl the whole time. And I can remember, I watched the whole process all along, and he's going to stand here and try his best to convince me he was born gay. When he stood in my face over after I got converted and said to me some filthy, nasty, he blasphemed God, he blasphemed the Holy Ghost, he dropped the F-bomb on the Holy Ghost in my face. Boy, I'm telling you, it broke my heart. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, man, people need to cut through the chase and realize we are what we are. I'm telling you, you either have Jesus or you don't. It ain't 40 million other reasons. The reason you don't have Jesus, it comes down to you and you alone, friend. You're the reason you don't have this pearl of great price. You don't understand this man. I don't know a whole lot about this merchant man in the Bible here. I don't know a whole lot about him. But I do know he was willing to sell everything that he had. I do know he was willing to forsake everything. I do know, Miss Denny, he was willing to shuck everything. I do know that he counted Jesus more valuable than everything in his entire life and world. You know what? When you get to that point, ladies and gentlemen, you can have him. When you get to that point, you can have him. Nowadays, we're in a world where you can have your sin in Jesus too. You can have your sin. We'll just leave it at that. In Jesus too. Well, Jesus don't come with sin. It just don't. It's not a package deal. You get one or the other. You know why people ain't saved? Because people have a hard time with what I just said. They don't believe what I just said about being nastier than that woman in Chicago or any other filthy street corner in America. Don't believe that. Well, that ain't my case. But that ain't my case. Can I draw your attention to the great Apostle Paul? I'm going to read a verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. 1 Timothy 1:15. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said, you know what? I'm worse than that old gal on the street corner. I'm worse than her. Preacher, you know nothing. You compared me to her, you know nothing. I'm worse than she ever dreamed of being. Preacher, you talking about them junkies down there, man, sharing all them dirty needles and everything. You talking about filth, preacher. Hey, that ain't nothing. I'm nastier than every one of them. I'm worse than all of them put together. Hey, you can put all of them together and combine their wickedness and their sin and their wretchedness. And preach, I want you to understand, I'm worse than all of them. I tell you, friend, when we get to that place, it's a good place to get Jesus. Amen. It's a good place to find him. It's exactly how Paul got in. Paul saw himself as the chiefest of sinners. I like it. I like old Paul's conversion. You know, I don't want to prolong, but do you know that the Lord has spoke to me as plain as he spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus? He has spoke as plain to me in my life as he did to Apostle Paul, to Saul down on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why kickest thou against the pricks? Well, I'll never forget the day that Jesus said, why kickest thou against the pricks? Just as plain as he did to old Saul. I don't know much about all them other roads, but I can tell you one thing, son. I had me a Damascus road one day. Amen. I'm telling you, God brought me to the end of myself, friend. What a day that was. Can I be honest with you? I've talked to too many folks that claim salvation, and here's what I found out. Things didn't mean anything to them. I said I've talked to way too many folks that had good testimonies, Zach, and things didn't mean anything to them. You say what? I said everything in this world grew strangely dim to those that beheld his glory. And it just does. I tell you, man, when you get a glimpse of Him, this whole world just grows strangely dim. Don't mean the same. I can't speak for those people, but I can speak frankly for myself. When God saved me, I wasn't rich. Please don't misunderstand me. But when God saved me, I had money to spare. I had money in my pocket. Anybody want to buy that? Give me a little something, a little jingle in my pocket. I ain't got no money in my pocket. Before I got saved, Eric, this ain't salvation. This is marriage. Salvation didn't empty my pockets. Marriage did. I'm just kidding, baby. Don't take my allowance. Don't take my allowance. I love you. She's mad at me now. I like making her mad. We can kiss and make up after a while. I mean, the difference between her and her mind to me. I can remember my wife calling me one day, and so we ended up going down there to Sears and bought her a brand new washer and dryer. Just my name. Steve walked in up there at George Wilson's gun shop, when it was Wilson's Guns there in Clemens. Old George had some guns up there. I mean, man, I got to look. Woo! Covetousness? You talking about covetousness? Son, I sit there and look at them guns and want them. Reached in my pocket. Old George had one up there for $1,000. I ended up getting that thing for $700. And I pulled the cash out. Just walked in the store, not because I wanted the gun. Walked in the store because I wanted to go look at some guns. And I had that money in my pocket. Just paid cash, Johnny, on the spot. I said, "Preacher, what are you talking?" I said, "I can't speak for those other people, but I can speak frankly for myself. Listen, I had a decent job. I had good financial security. Everything seemed to be going pretty good in my life. It seemed like." And Jesus showed up. Then on that Damascus Road, man alive, everything changed, church. Everything changed. Everything. We sold out, loaded up. God sent us about 3 miles from hell, Florida. Sent us to Florida. I'm sorry, Miss Holly. It just rough on me. I was so poor. Might have been good if I had some money. I didn't have no money. I'd just stay down there in them rat holes and just, you know, dwell with the peasants. Would you believe, Eric, I got me a framing job, building houses in the state of Florida. I mean, sand gnats, man, they flying. You out there trying to build sand gnats. Florida invents pests. I mean, they invent it, Timmy. Get stuff you never even heard of. Snakes everywhere you go. I've never heard of a stupid coral snake. Never in my life. They got a snake down there this big that'll kill you. Coral snakes. They got things. They have to hit you in little areas like that where they can get chew on you. And they got that poison like a cobra's got. So I killed me one of them one day and put him in a jar of formaldehyde and would set him over at the house and shoot spitwads at him and stuff in that bottle. And y'all think I'm kidding. I hate them, man. I hate them. And old Dan Chastain got bit by one playing with it over there at the ravines, and we had to rush him 5 minutes. He started going paralyzed. Within 5 minutes, we had to get him over there to the medical clinic. They flew in a helicopter to take him to the hospital. Just 5 minutes. Down there, Eric, I tell all these old crazy stories and get lost in my stories. But man, I was framing them houses. I mean, we was framing 3 houses a week on the average. Never less than 2 a week. Drive them in. Going out there, be a concrete slab on the ground in the midst of all that nasty sand with all them sand gnats that bite you, flying everywhere. They said they couldn't get over 10 feet. I said, "Well, I'm going to do the roof. I'm going to put the plywood on." And so me and old Rick Ivins, we would volunteer to do the trusses and the roofs and stuff like get up above them sand mats. And we was out there working, man. Boss man didn't allow us to have saw bucks.
We had to cut on the ground. I was a cut man, and I had four or five guys hollering numbers at me, and I was getting mad, and I was just buried because he wouldn't let me have a. I was having to bend over and work on my knees all day cutting that stuff. Man, he wasn't looking. I buried that saw. I said, I'm going to get rid of this blade. He's going to get me a saw horse.
You buy enough blades, you might get me some saw horses.
Old boss man out of Pennsylvania, man, old Yankees up there work like a bunch of dogs.
Framing two or three.
You know what them dudes was paying me? Man, I was making bank. I mean, working like a white dog. $5 an hour. Raising my family on $5 an hour. You mean to tell me I left that place to have all that money in my pocket and I could go to my uncle and go, hey, man, I need something, and you know, him maybe give it to me and I have to hear about it the rest of my life, but probably still I could give it.
Man, let him do something for you. You're going to hear about it till Jesus comes. He'll be talking about it after Jesus comes. Oh, y'all tell him I said that. It took us a while to find that job, didn't it, girl? Finally, the Lord opened the door and let me get a job $5 an hour. Then, man, I was wanting to go to work down on the golf course. And, man, I looked in the paper. They was hiring. They hired me for $5.50 an hour. I said, a 50-cent raise? This is God. I took that job. Hey, Eric, we struggle, friend. I'm telling you, and I know, church, I probably shouldn't confess this kind of stuff, but I'm just being honest with you. That's all I know how to be, just honest with you. There was months where I had to hide from the landlord. There was months where he'd come and knock on. I was doing all I could do. I wasn't driving new cars and wearing new clothes and eating a fancy restaurant. Man, we was eating rations. And man, I can remember the landlord knocking on my door and me having to hide out in the bedroom because I didn't have it. What am I going to tell him? I ain't got your money. She ain't got your 2 weeks later, I ain't got your money. I'm sitting there going, God, everybody said, you've got it's on time now. I need to see some of that, Lord. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Preacher, you complain? I want you to hear me well. I don't have one complaint, one regret. I thought about it like this morning, Mr. Emmett. Zero, zilch, none, nada, nada, nara. Anyhow you want to say it, I don't have one regret. I'm so glad, Mama, that I sold out. You hear me? I'm so glad that I said goodbye. I'm so glad that I said, yes, Lord, whatever you want. I'm so glad, thank God, that I emptied my wallet. I'm so glad that I packed up and shipped out to another state. I'm so glad that I went through every trial that I went through. I'm so glad, thank God, that we struggled like we struggled. I'm glad, thank God, for every storm cloud that ever rolled up. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. You hear me? I'd rather have Jesus, friend, than anything in this world. I'd rather have Jesus than everything in this world. I'm just glad, thank God, out of this thing, I got to have Jesus. You hear me? Jesus. Got rid of my plans, my ambitions, my goals, my dreams. James, I was wanting to be an electrician after I was a professional fisherman. My philosophy, my thought, my ideal was that, man, if I could become a professional fisherman, get on tour, get my name out there, I could be an electrician and have my own company, Eric, and have that name, and man, that thing just sell. People like that, huh? Why do you think Jerry's using Nolan Ryan that nobody even knows anymore?
Everybody's going, who's Nolan Ryan? The Ryan Express, who's that? Well, we know who he was.
That was my goals. That was my dreams. I wanted to be a fisherman. And it's okay. I know some of y'all wanted to be a professional crocheter. Zach had a goal. He wanted to be he wanted to crochet for a living and be the best that he could be with that big needle and yarn.
Philippians 3:8 says this. Watch this, church. This is what I'm talking about. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Can I tell you what my job was? Can I tell you what my financial security was? Can I tell you what all that stuff I gave up was? It was a big old pile of poop when you hold it over there to Jesus Christ. That's all it was. Pile of dung.
It was all but done, friend. I'm telling you,
everything this world has to offer, that's all it amounts to when you hold up next to Jesus. You hear the best jobs, the best house, the best cars, the best clothes. Everything in this world, I'm telling you, friend, it just piles up to be a big pile of dung when you hold up to Jesus. That's all. You can have your septic tank. I'll take the Lord. I'll take the Lord. Amen. You know what I did? I became as the merchant man and obtained that great pearl, the pearl of great price. I want you to hear me today, church. You can search this whole world over and again, and you'll never find anything better than this pearl of great price. Never. This world's tried everything in its power to substitute it, replace it. You can't do it. You just can't do it. You say, preacher, where do I find this pearl? I'm glad you asked. You're going to find it in the Blessed Bible. You're going to find it pouring out of the heart and mouth of a God-called preacher that cares enough to tell you the truth. A man that cares enough to look at you and say, you're a hypocrite and you're going to spend eternity in hell with the rest of them if you don't get a hold of this pearl. Right? Don't come to this church and go to hell, buddy. I promise you, don't come to this church and go to hell with a good conscience. I want you to come here. If you're lost, I want you to come here and get bothered. If you're saved and you're not living right, I want you to come here and get bothered. I want you to be able to live in sin and be comfortable around here. Amen. I don't believe you'll be able to come around Jesus and sin and be comfortable. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When them great men of God used to come around, and I was a young boy and I was a man of stripe and tail, so I'm going to tell you something. I was scared of them men. I didn't want to be around them. Them men scared me because I knew they could see through me, man. I knew they had me pegged. I didn't want them to read me and expose what I really was. You hear me? Man, I was afraid of those guys. What do you think it'll be like when we get in the presence of Jesus? You'll not be comfortable in your sin. That's right. You'll not be comfortable going to hell. Let me tell you something. Please read your Bible. The songwriter that said he's the lily of the valleys was dead wrong. That's not in your Bible. Me and Zach was talking about it again the other day, thank God. Well, now, preacher, Songs of Solomon, that's not talking about him. That's talking about the church. Read your Bible. You're turning Jesus into a woman when you say that. He's talking about her. She's the lily among the thorns. The church is down here in this world. The church is in this prayer patch of sin. And Jesus looks in the midst of all this old filthy, nasty, sinful world, and he has him a little bride sitting there, and she's beautiful. She's a lily among the thorns. And she turned around and said, but as the apple tree is among the trees of the woods, that strong man said, so is my beloved among the sons. Amen. He was comparing her to the daughters, and she got to comparing him to the other men. You know what she said? Oh, glory to God. She said, his mouth is most sweet. He's altogether lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000. I'm telling you, friend, when you got him, you've got everything. I'm telling you, church, he's fairer than the lilies. He's fairer than the lilies. He's fairer than the lilies. Thank God he's fairer. 10,000 to my soul. When you got him, you got everything. Do you have him? Do you know him? Do you know him today? It's a good song. It's a good question. His mouth is most sweet. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. Do you know him? The Bible said he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, this pearl of great price. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the lover of our soul. He's the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Life. Huh? I'm telling you, you could take every king there's ever been on planet Earth, every king there ever will be, and you can combine all of their greatness and all of their power. You can combine all of their majesty. I'm telling you, he's the King of all kings. He's greater than the greatest. Thank God, he's wonderful today. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He is the Prince of this life and peace. Thank God. Do you know him? Huh? They said, we'll not have him. And the Jews stumbled at him. Jesus said, he's the chief cornerstone. Amen. He's the chief cornerstone. John was down there baptizing on that Judean bankside. Man, I'm telling you, the crowds was rolling in and he was doing his thing. I'm telling you, there was a brightness. Hallelujah. I'm just making that spiritual. But there was a brightness come over the hillside. And John noticed, man, there was something special going on. And he told that crowd, he said, "Behold, I want everybody to stop. It ain't about me. It ain't about you right now. I want everybody to stop and take a look. This is the Lamb of God. It's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. And he'll take away the sins of the world. He's the Prince of Life. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Creator. He's my help. He's my hope. He's my healing." I told a man last night, man, how God healed my back. Just sitting there reading through the Word of God. Sitting there reading Job 33. And that power of God come through that Word and touched my back. Sitting in my chair. And I felt that virtue enter my body. And I'm telling you, it was just like that. All the pain just kind of vanished away. And I could feel my strength come back. I'm telling you, Jesus is my healer. Do you know Him? I didn't need Benny Hinn or Creflo Dollar. What I needed was that Word. The Bible says there's not a bomb in Gilead. Thank God there's no bomb in Gilead. It's the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the way, the Bible says, the truth and the life. He's the door. He's the doctor. The great physician. He's the discerner of our hearts. He's the one, ladies and gentlemen, if we'll let Him, that will reveal to us the deep, dark secrets that we know not about our own selves. He's the discerner of our hearts. Who is He? He's Jesus, the pearl of great price. One of my favorite passages, Steve, is Christ has been given a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, I'm telling you, I don't want to wait to that day, Miss Stephanie. You hear me? Oh, I'm so glad I can just go ahead and bow down before Him today and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You hear? Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Lord! Jesus Christ is Lord! I'm telling you, church, it's so good today to have the liberty and the outright right to say that Jesus Christ, He is the potentate, He is the Lord, He's the master, He's the ruler, He's the owner, He's the shepherd, He's my guide, He's my friend, He's my confidant, He's everything to me, He's everything. He's everything. Do you know Him? You know Him? What's keeping you from knowing Him? What treasure is keeping you from knowing Him? What's more valuable to you than Jesus is? Let me tell you something. Whether you know Him or not, He knows you and He wants you to know Him. He knows you and He wants you and He loves you and He cares for you. I found out a long time ago, Michael, that when a man's wanted, there's some special things that happens. And it ain't just your picture in the post office. But I tell you, when a man's wanted, a man will be called. You hear me? I can remember Mama coming home and starting a meal, and we didn't hang out in the house. And I can remember meals was done, Steve, and before that door would open, she'd say, "Y'all come on!" I mean, she'd call us, friend. Do you hear me? I'm talking about when the supper meal, when the meal was prepared and ready and on the table, those that were wanted were called. She would say, "Yo, come on, it's ready." I'm telling you, one of these days, thank God, there's going to be a call from the glory world. And He's going to say, "Come up in there." And those that are blood washed, those that have the pearl of great price, is going to leave this whole world behind and go to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes. Going to be called. According to Ezekiel chapter 16, those that are wanted will be clothed. Yes. Right. As far as I can tell, Miss Stephanie, He's got me a new robe. Hallelujah. I remember Zach, old boy up there in Tennessee, around Morristown, was a preaching.
And he's a preaching on that prodigal son. He got talking about that robe, how it wouldn't fit nobody else but him. How God has that thing specified just to fit that one person. And that old preacher got to preaching about going home, man, getting to be with Jesus and sitting down at the table with the Lord. And I'm telling you, that old boy dropped dead in the pulpit while he was preaching on that robe that God had for him in heaven. It changed my mind about dying in the pulpit. I don't want to do that no more. I want to die in my sleep. Not with a pillow over my face. I mean, I want to die naturally in my sleep. I want to be assisted. Also, according to Ezekiel 16, if you're wanted, you'll be clean. You remember that baby laying out there in the field? The Bible said that it was out there for to the loathsomeness of that person. Nobody wanted it. Nobody desired that baby. They threw it out in the field because nobody wanted that little baby. Well, I'm so glad to thank God that Jesus passed by me one day and saw me polluted in my own blood and said unto me, live. I'm glad he spoke life and peace into my soul. I'm glad, thank God, that he took the precious blood of Jesus and cleaned me. He cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I'm glad, thank God, that he put his robe of righteousness on me. Steve, I'm glad that he cleaned me and clothed me. I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus is going to call me. I'm glad, thank God, that he cares for me. I found out a long time ago when you're wanted, some things happened. Church, Jesus has done everything in the world for you to be clothed and cleaned and called. Rest is up to you and I. I'm trying to hurry. The kids is getting frustrated. Watch this, Matthew 6:21. The Bible says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You have to understand that your heart is tied up in whatever your treasure is. Are you listening? Thank you, Jesus. I said, your heart is tied up into whatever your treasure is. The reason your heart ain't tied up with Jesus, because he ain't your treasure. When Jesus becomes your treasure, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where your desire's going to be. That's where your zeal's going to be. That's where your longing's going to be. That's where everything is going to be. It's going to center around him. Thank God. He'll be the central point of every area of your life. It's amazing how things become our treasure. I like sports. I like football. Zach likes crochet. My boys used to play ball and they stunk so bad they couldn't none of them play ball. And I used to tell them, I'm going to just get y'all a needle. I'm gonna sign y'all for crochet classes next year. I was a good daddy, wasn't I? Can't play no ball, you might as well learn how to sew or something, make an afghan or something. Isn't it amazing that nothing's wrong with baseball, Michael? Nothing's wrong with baseball. Nothing's wrong with football. I mean, all the commercials and everything, and them cheerleaders, I mean, you know, you can get crazy in a heartbeat. But hey, ain't nothing wrong with that sport. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But I'll tell you one thing, it can become your treasure. That thing can take over the seat of your heart. And that'd be your treasure. How many boys, how many girls have we seen let some opposite sex become the treasure of their life? I'm going to tell you what we better learn how to do. We better learn how to let Jesus be the treasure. Let him start putting things in our life as he sees fit. Huh? I thought about little Gracie this morning. I've never seen nothing so silly in all my life. That ugly boy walked in back there, can't even talk like right. He talks like this right here. You guys, come on, you know. Gee willikers, guys. And she got all stupid-eyed. I said, ain't nobody ever better say she was born gay, because I'm telling you, she's boy crazy. God help you. Or she's Timmy crazy. Let me say that. He's not a boy. He's a young man.
your money, your treasures, your ideas can be your treasures. Whatever you treasure, that's where you are. Hey, understand that if your treasure is anything but Jesus Christ, then your treasure amounts to dung. That's as nice as I can do about that. I'm going to quit. You remember when Mary came to Jesus? She had all them devils. And Jesus cast out all them devils. Man, Mary got what she needed from the Lord. And she went home and she had something real valuable. That I'm talking about, the Bible said it was valuable. The Bible said it was valuable. That old girl went home after she had done run up on the Lord and done business with him. After she had met that pearl of great price, she went home. And over there, I guess, maybe on her dresser sit an alabaster box full of ointment. Yeah. And Jesus was coming over to Peter's house. And Peter didn't wash his feet. And Jesus had been walking them dusty trails. And he had dust on his feet. And he came in there. And old Mary, man, she done business. I mean, she got this treasure in her earthen vessel now. And Jesus come in, and Peter didn't wash his feet, and she grabbed onto the feet of Jesus and began to cry, and her tears hit his feet, and the dust become as mud. And what a shame, what an embarrassment, the mess that she was making. And she took her hair, her glory, and began to wipe his feet. And she took that alabaster box, the most valuable thing that she had obtained in her entire life. Busted that thing open. She poured it out on the Lord. And there said old Judas and all the rest of them spiritual folks and said, "Oh, you wasted your money. We could have sold that and gave it to the poor." And Jesus said, "Listen, the poor you'll have with you always." This old girl took something that was dear to her heart and emptied it out on me. Do you know what happened, ladies and gentlemen, when Mary began to worship the Lord Jesus? Everybody in that house started recognizing him. All the attention came upon him. You know what I'm trying to do today, Miss Holly? I'm trying my dead level, weak, feeble best to get your attention on the pearl of great price. That's all.
Man, if I could just get you to wrap your mind around that pearl of great price and the value of that pearl, the treasure that you can obtain in your earthen vessel, if I could get you how to see through the muck and the mire, man, just get rid of everything that's hindering you from God. I mean, just open up and I mean, get after God in every way possible. And if you have to push away from the table, if you have to just say no to your flesh, if you have to absolutely go out of the way to appease yourself, God wants to show you what's in the way. Was to help you get it removed. You gotta be willing to remove everything. Do you know him today? I lied. I gotta read this scripture to you. Is that okay? Well, it's 12:27. I'll quit in 3 minutes, okay? Let me read this passage to you. Acts chapter 19, please. Church, I'm trying to do better on my time. I just am, and I know I'm failing today. I appreciate y'all's kindness. Acts chapter 19, verse 18 and 19. I just want you to see this. "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Now watch this. "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." If you ever wondered where these Baptists got this barrel burning idea, right here it is in the book of Acts. The Acts of the Church. They had a burning. And people that was getting saved started bringing their stuff. Steve, I imagine some of them men started bringing their little boy pants. I said, "You know what? I've never seen anybody with a power of God on wear this kind of clothes. I've seen those men having long shirts like them girls who want to show their abs and cut them off and try to show their abs for people to to lust over them or whatever reason they. But I imagine some of them people got saved, Steve, and some of them old men, they might have had some jewelry and said, you know what? I can't bring glory to God, bring glory to my flesh and get rid of that stuff. I imagine some men probably bought some old books, some magazines, some old fishing, in fishermen, some saltwater fishermen magazines. Man, that meant everything to them, throw them in that barrel. I imagine there were some young people that had got saved and said, you know what? I'm going to bring my Jay-Z CDs down here. Throw them in the barrel. Timmy bought a car and had a Jay-Z CD in it. Ready to pick ain't pulling us. That thing had a New York label on it. Purchased it friends in an Olean. That's what it said. They probably threw that in there. But here's what blew my mind, James. If you was to calculate that 50,000 and put it in our modern day economy, that's over $3 million worth of products. That's $3.6 million. The last time I calculated, $3.6 million of products that they took and burned. $3.6 million? You think you could get people to burn $3.6 million worth of garbage, earthen treasures today? You say, what are you talking about? I'm just telling you, they was willing to get rid of everything. Them people got saved and they said, you know what? We can't live for Jesus with this stuff in our life. Before I got saved, the Lord started dealing with me about things in my life. Before I even got saved. Before I got saved, started dealing with me about things that, man, I had to get rid of. Father, we thank you for this day. Pray, God, that you'd help us. Pray, God, that you'd take this simple thought, Lord, and help us, God, stronger than ever to seek for that pearl of great price. God, be as this merchant man. God, be willing to do whatever it takes to obtain it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Bless the food that we're about to eat. Thank you for this Easter Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.